Hello, new you maniacs, and welcome back to our spinner rack here at season 5 of the Marvel New Universe Comics podcast, The Voice of the New Universe. We are your hosts.
Steven with Justice number 31. And
And Andy, I get to do maybe the final backup story ever. Yeah, something to look forward to.
is it in Night Mask?
I think it's more about Tyrone visiting people. I don't know.
Relief.
New Universe was launched in 1986 as an imprint from Marvel Comics, originally dedicated to a more grounded approach to comics. The original idea was World Outside Your Window and included real-time progress. The new universe has changed quite a lot in those 2 years, and now we're starting in 1989. The world knows about paranormals, and the US government has captured and drafted them into the army and the CIA. Pittsburgh has been destroyed, forming the Pit, also creating some new, occasionally twisted paranormals. And really, after this, only one issue for each surviving series, and then some kind of war is happening.
Yikes.
Right. So, with our podcast, of course, you can follow us along each week, and as we'll go through every comic as it hit the spinner rack, or just check out individuals if you don't like more content, I guess. But yeah, counting down to the end, 9 comics to go if we count the war. So, woof. In the meantime, kickersinc.com. I actually did update it, so there's some new
What?
stuff on there.
Oh man, that's good.
So it took us a while, but it happened.
It's our Christmas project. And
Including the New Universe publication schedule, which is on there now,
all
right
right.
on the front page. And then, although I don't check it, presumably, there's occasionally updates on X at Kickers Inc., which you should give a follow.
We'll let you know when new episodes are dropping, or they're not dropping, or they drop.
Usually, there's some miscommunication between me publishing them and you announcing them.
Corporate headquarters at Kickers Inc. Is pretty hands off, and I don't know what's going on half the time. Anyway, this week we get back to Justice, having had his life almost destroyed by a powerful paranormal. John Tenson dubbed himself Justice and gave himself a mission to travel the land, find other paranormals, and judge whether or not they are using their powers properly. This week, Justice number 31. Manhattan is falling apart, literally, in the chaos. Justice must find 3 agents from the Justice Department, aka NSC, who disappeared under mysterious circumstances, plus the return of Seraph. And the debut of the horrifying outcasts called The Forsaken.
Ooh.
Written by Peter David and illustrated by Lee Weeks. 32 pages. Mando paper. Direct sales only. $1.50.
Maybe playing that one up a little bit, like horrifying outcasts. Like that seemed kind of like a fun squad, actually.
I was also surprised by Manhattan is falling apart. It seems very apocalyptic, like. Everything's just crumbling and maybe
Mostly just seemed like a
exploding.
bunch of trash bags and street gangs.
Yeah, I mean, at the end we can sort of compare and contrast this with DP7's New York City. They're like, let's throw everyone into New York City, and then I don't know, from like Lower Manhattan to Coney Island, big dispersal of viewpoints there, I guess. Anyway.
And then, yeah, like we said in the intro, we do have a backup story. So we got some characters that are well beloved by the podcasters, ready to go, and a totally consequential and important story, no doubt.
It's mostly amusing to us for parallels to our personal lives, but anyway. Oh, let us dig on into Justice number 31, which cover dated May 1989, and we believe hit the stands February 7th, 1989. Cover is a fun action pose with Justice grappling with a Seraph from issue 20, 21.
Yeah,
It's
it's
the
been a
Pit
while.
Aid concert right after the Pit.
He looks like Dracula.
He does. And he has that big scythe that they are fighting over, possibly standing in snow. Did Seraph go to Siberia with the no, the injustice is done there. Okay, never mind. There is a so yeah, he's got a cape and a scythe and they're fighting. About it, and it's there's a text box, Seraph's trademark back, and this time he's out for blood.
Ooh.
Something, some.
Again with the Dracula thing.
Yeah. Credited to Lee Weeks, 88. Flipping on inside, we've got the standard sort of background text and the cover inside front cover. Credits again, Peter David, writer, Lee Weeks, art. Actually, the end of the promo text says, "Now Justice is paid a visit by an old nemesis." So I'm guessing this, you know. From the looks of this, we're going to have the kill count is going to be back up again, sky high. It's going to be
Right.
Justice v. Seraph, the way it was Justice v. Rodstvow.
Right. No chance at all that they'll not actually meet each other in this issue.
Blood poured all over the walls. Okay, start a little joke. My little joke. Anyway, so we start off with a non-splash page of two of the NSC agents who are not Justice Department, Chauncey, who is the assistant to Terrence Updike, and Rudy Shutterbug Lealoa, who's this rather heavy-set paranormal who had come along with Chauncey and Miriam Morse, aka Playback, to investigate some paranormal sightings in reported around Coney Island, New York. And in the, over the last couple of issues, they arrived, found it was pretty empty, walked around for a while, and then Miriam had sort of disappeared the last issue. At the she sort of there was something about a, like a female figure with a southern accent, and she just sort of was gone.
Got kidnapped.
Kidnapped. The two guys are now have now noticed this. So there's a they're conversing, and it's a Chauncey as the sort of straight up government guy, and Rudy as this sort of slacker jokester conversing. This isn't like Miriam to just disappear without a trace. Why does she usually leave a trace when she disappears? Rudy, there's a time and a place for jokes, and here and now isn't it? I'm calling NSC HQ in DC. A-okay, but make it PDQ. Oh, and order me a BLT ASAP. Sort of beats you down until you start laughing at some point.
Yeah.
Shut up, Rudy. I can't believe I lost Miriam. Updike's gonna fry me. Also, she's supposed to be my girlfriend, so I should be a little more personally involved, but okay.
Maybe. I think Update just like had like the leftovers for the paranormals. So it's like all the people that nobody wanted or couldn't deal with.
That's a good description of what we're getting into here. Rudy's some more jokes, and Chauncey calls Updike. He's on hold, and Rudy's looking off. They're like on the boardwalk at Coney Island, and Rudy sees like a lamb running onto the beach. He is confused. Hey, Chauncey, shut up a minute. I'm on hold. And following the lamb, we see a woman in a toga. Come back, little Sheba. It'll only hurt a moment.
You even got the classic Greek sandals things going on.
Yeah, is it toga is still Greek, right? It's not just Roman. See, this is why I told you we need a classical education.
Right. I mean, it's pretty important information.
If we want to dig into an 80s comic book, we should be a little more savvy about our Greek v. Roman differences. Anyway, Rudy says, Chauncey, you should really see this, says the woman chases the lamb. Does it involve Miriam? Well, no, then it can wait. Oopsie. So as Rudy leans over and watches, now a toad man runs onto the beach after them. And we see Chauncey's conversation with Updike going on. Yeah, we haven't spotted anything yet. If there's any rogue paranormals around here, they're keeping a low profile as Toad Man runs right below him. But Miriam has vanished. I'm not even sure where to begin looking. Toad Man looks at Rudy, flicks his tongue out, which wraps itself around Rudy's neck like a scarf. And as he sort of struggles with it, Chauncey is looking in the other direction, talking on the phone. Nah, it's just Rudy screwing around. Yes, sir, blah, 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 blah. And Rudy is pulled over the side of the railing to the beach below. And as Chauncey finally turns around to look, oh, so blasted important, Rudy, he is left alone. We're now see the woman out on the beach has holding down the lamb. Chauncey yells at her, "Hey, you out on the beach! What are you doing to that sheep?" She says, "Listen only to Augur, little one. The pain will be brief." Ah, what the heck are you doing? She gutted the poor thing. What are you, nuts? You're one of them, aren't you? Paranormal or a mental case or both? Where are Rudy and Miriam? What have you done with my people? I have your answer right here, comes from behind Chauncey. He turns around, pulling his gun out. Freeze, I'm a government agent. The
Not a
gun
particularly
is.
good one, but still.
The gun is sliced in half,
Yeah,
when
that's
the woman.
impossible, right?
It would certainly be like, I mean, you would have to have something that is beyond like physically sharp.
Yeah, I guess he does have sort of the magic thing, but.
I don't remember it as being like, yeah, that like will cut through anything. I don't know. But yeah, you would think the like just the force coming down. I mean, if it doesn't stop at the gun, you would still be needing so much force to cut through the gun that your hands would be moved significantly. But anyway,
At least they didn't cut the guy's hands off.
this is true. The mystery figure continues. That could have been your hand. Welcome to Coney Island, Mr. Chauncey. And as he pulls Chauncey up, we see that it is Seraph. The Forsaken have been expecting you.
Goatee on the cover, no goatee in this image. Guess he had a quick shave.
I like his like threatening welcome. Welcome to Coney
The
Island.
island.
It's
Maybe it's
exactly what
Evo
I would
Turf.
expect.
I don't
Asshole Seraph.
know.
Okay. Yeah. Flip on over to page six for the splash, which amused me for some reason. And it is Angela grappling with a I think we realized pretty quickly, like a judo partner,
Yeah,
although he's
but
wearing
he's kind
like
of
a
wearing like
Freddy
the
mask.
Friday the 13th Jason mask, yeah, to
Yeah,
try and make it
Jason
look like
mask.
a bad guy.
Yeah. But she is wearing sweats, and they have the Temple University logo, which she used to be a student of at. And the title of this story, Under the Boardwalk. And we get a little justice narration. I am justice. And it would appear Angela is in trouble again. Angela goes on to bite the hand of this guy, stomp his foot, dodge him as he lunges forward, and then whack him from behind as he goes past him. So she's on the ground, she starts kicking him. He's, whoa, hold it, Angie, enough already. Slow down, Tiger.
I'm pretty sure my kids have pulled that exact same move on me at some point.
Oh man.
The old bite stomp kick.
I should stop mistreating my daughter then. I'm like,
Or just get better at
ah, okay. I see it coming.
it.
Angelo's somewhat apologetic. I'm sorry, Ted. I guess it shows what a good teacher you are. Not like Wade over in the CIA who taught all of the Fem Force how to fight. He says, maybe I'll start teaching kindergarten instead of self-defense. You don't risk busted ribs with that. Unless, as Andy says, your children fight back.
Right, or if it's a city school.
Kindergartner towers over me. Like, why are they putting it in the water now? Jeez. Chance, I don't know. Terrence Updike is watching from nearby. Ms. Tenson, I'm impressed with your recovery. I'm impressed. Your recovery defies all prognoses. Thanks, Mr. Updike. You're becoming most proficient in combat tutoring you're receiving. It's a dangerous world, Mr. Updike. Anyone who says differently is kidding himself. Achoo! Allergies again, Victor? Now I wonder who could be setting them off. This is the only line Victor Pascoe has in this issue.
One sneeze.
Was it just me? Were they not like building up? Like he was narrating a couple issues ago.
Yeah. Also, wouldn't he be, or does
Sneezing at
Updike
Angela?
not know that Angela has the powers? I
I think they
forget.
know now.
Yeah.
Who could be setting them off? Well, we see the boots of justice. Justice strolls on up to Angela. She and he hug. She calls him daddy. Justice says Rodstvow is dead. He'll injure no one again. And the other one? Psi-Force. I caught them, but I threw them back. They were too small. I had wondered if I had done the right thing. He hugs her again. And seeing that you've been returned to me whole is my answer. Updike breaks in. I hate to break up this touching reunion, but we need you for something, John. What I need is sleep, Terrence. We'll have to keep for a few hours. John, you don't understand. Several of our people have vanished. I need my big gun on this. No, you don't understand. You are talking to someone for whom sanity is a conscious effort. So much has happened up here that I have to concentrate on keeping fact and fiction separate. If I'm tired, things start to blur, much in the way they did when I was drugged. If my thinking is impaired, I become a danger to everyone. Do you get it now? I might destroy the ones you want me to save.
Ooh.
Fine, go sleep. I just hope when I wake up, there's someone left to save. So do I.
Side note, did Uptake's hair always look like that?
I think he's got that, yeah, like Reed Richards' splash of gray at the temples, which is now covered in most of his head.
Oh yeah. I could have sworn he was brown, but I don't know.
Dang. Okay, I forget. It didn't. We get so few like clear frontal shots of people sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
So there's a bunch of like distance, long shots. Like in the middle of page 9, where you're just like, they use their name, so you're like, okay, I guess that's Terrence Upton. No, I think you're right, but because the coloring is always like a more variable than any other part of the production.
Oh, yeah.
Flip on over to a back in Coney Island. I'm afraid I don't recognize anything in Coney Island, so I can't really tell you anything about what these buildings are. I guess I should have watched the Warriors again. I think they end up back there, right?
They just kind of end there, though. You don't really get to see much of it.
Have you been, Connie?
Yeah, recently. But yeah, again, like the boardwalk is pretty obvious, but random building next to it doesn't quite stand out.
I don't know if they've renovated it so severely since this time period that we wouldn't recognize it anyway, but who knows? We get the prisoners. Miriam is back with Chauncey and Rudy. No one's going to save us. We're going to die here. Stop saying that, Miriam. Give me a reason not to. We're all together. That's good. Great. We're an easier target. I can't take this anymore. Rudy, you can help. You have that vibration power. Chauncey says, yeah, he does, but we don't want them to know that until we know how many of them there are. There's an army of them. Someone could still blow Rudy away no matter how big an earthquake he makes. Miriam's like, we can't just sit around. We have to do something. Do something. She shakes Rudy down until he finally says, okay. Rudy then
Now
proceeds
it's
to.
time to get serious, right?
Rudy's going to give them the speech. It's like the Richard III speech or Richard
About how
IV.
he's been holding back, and if he really
Saint
used his
Swithin's Day.
powers, like he'll level all of New York City.
All right, my brothers, my band of brothers, it is our time. Yes, I cannot risk the future of New York City where. No, he tells them a joke. It's actually a pretty good one. I had remembered this from quite a while back. Do you remember this joke?
No.
Oh, okay. It is, it's a kind of a visual joke, so it is perhaps best if I just leave it to the reader to imagine. There is a. Oh, should I? What do you think?
Oh yeah, we got to go through it.
Okay, there's a woman, see, and she's sitting in her house in the country, minding her own business, and there's a knock at the door. She answers it, and there's a guy there, sobbing. He says, lady, I feel terrible. I was driving along, and I tried to stop my car, but I just killed your cat, ran it right over. So she goes, now hold on. There's a lot of strays around here. Maybe it wasn't my cat. Tell me, what did it look like? And the guy goes, bleh. So,
Yeah, kind of like twists his arms up and makes a face, right?
yeah. Hit the cat, it now looks like that. And she goes, no, I mean, what did it look like before you hit it? And the guy goes, and it's the arms going out and like a shock expression, like just
Like you're
before
a
the
cat
cat hits.
about to hit by a car, yeah.
Miriam and Chauncey stand there for a second, look at each other, and then just bust up. We turn the page and see Seraph is on the outside wondering what the heck is wrong with these people. He gets a vision of a face and hood. You seem confused, Seraph. The prisoners are laughing, Your Honor. I find that odd. To say the least, ignore the fools and find Augur. Tell her I will not refrain from disturbing her casting much longer. I want a report. Yes, Your Honor. Seraph stalks through the halls. Augur, blood and thunder, where is that girl? He runs into a possibly translucent woman who's sort of. It's like she's all white, like beyond imprint. She is just like half like a ghost.
Yeah, I'm assuming she's supposed to be kind of like ghostly and see-through, but.
Yeah, translucent at the least. And it is probably the woman we had seen before with the southern accent. That way, sweet thang. He calls her figurine. He tells her, get some clothes on, parading around naked like that. It's indecent. I thought it was pretty decent, if I do say so. Seraph, in another room, finds the woman in toga disemboweling another animal. Augur, why do you keep moving your casting chamber? I was curious to see whether changing location might change the messages of the entrails. Didn't. How many more small animals must you slaughter? The judge wants a verdict. Judges always do. I'd hoped enough the readings would bring variance, but they haven't. Hear me then. Are you ready?
You
Quill
gotta tell
has.
a joke?
No. Quill has failed. There was a path that would have led to success, but something pulled it from it. My castings say he is dead. That is clear. And the ones we have captured, should we kill them? It will make no difference. Either way, the future is set. Justice is coming. He will face the Forsaken and the judge and you. That also is clear. And the outcome? Justice will die. Or you will. Or both. That is unclear. There is a random factor involved in all of this. What random factor?
About as
Interestingly,
surprising as possible, I would say.
it's not what I was expecting. We flip and see a man standing on top of the cyclone, which is a roller coaster, apparently. That is uncertain. That's what makes it random, after all. Well, never mind. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, I can handle it. And we see a man is standing at the top of that roller coaster. A man in another goofy superhero outfit. And it says on the front, Captain Brooklyn.
It's kind of him to just write his name on his chest, as opposed to Captain Manhattan, who's got just like an M and an apple or something.
Looks like he wrote it with Sharpie. This is kind of like what I think Josh Deck had said on the Facebook page that they missed a chance to do like Spider-Man's costume in the first Spider-Man movie, where he's like, an amateur, so he makes something more like a costume, but it looks completely goofy and amateurish. This is less polished than Captain Manhattan's, but it still gives him, but more, more polished than like, here's a wacko who thinks he's
It
playing superhero.
looks like a one of those like indie knockoff Superman kind of things, you know.
It's fair.
Malibu
Clone.
Comics Supreme or some junk like that, you know.
I'm tempted to call it like like a parody comic almost, like Megaton Man by Don Simpson. Anyway, the scene switches over to an airplane taking off from presumably DC, and we get some Justice narration. Justice is thinking, people have used so many approaches to extend their lifespans when I confronted them. Tried to bribe me or fight me or trick me. But that girl in Psi-Force, who is otherwise useless, Lindsay, she succeeded where others hadn't. She made me feel like a monster, like something unworthy to sit in judgment. Anyway, Lindsay missed her chance to sit in judgment of Potiphar last Psi-Force, so don't get me started on Lindsay.
Yeah, that's kind of weak.
Dead inside, that's what she called me. Was she right? Pretty heavy stuff when you're just taking a commuter flight. I mean, DC to New York, that's a couple of an hour? Whatever.
Well, nothing like air travel to make you feel kind of depressed and
That's true.
like a you're on the bottom rung of society.
Where's my life going? Nowhere. Okay, I'll sit in my seat and keep the seatbelt on.
Your little
She
cup of tepid water.
reminded me so much of Angela and Damon Douche. Of everything Angela said, of how my mission from God was just a cloak to insulate myself from humanity. Yet Angela suffered after saying it. Coincidence or a reminder of who's really in charge? It's a good thing she's not with me now, but I wish she were. Excuse me, is the seat taken? A woman sits down who. Is that Captain Claire Burnett from Merck?
I don't know. She has brown hair, though, so it's clearly not anyone we know.
Again, a young woman. I was hoping I could move up since they stuck me back there in the smoking section. There's like no justice, you know? Hey, maybe it was that lawyer, remember?
Oh, right, yeah.
She was like going to help him out from his spring. What do you think you're doing? Buckling my seatbelt? As soon as we get back to LaGuardia, sure he is now blonde. You're on the first plane back. Nuh-uh, Dad. Oh, it's Angela.
Yeah.
I'm sticking with you. No more pretending for me. No more fantasizing that life might go back to the way it used to be. Besides, Updike told me who was missing my friends as well as yours. I have no friends. None? Not even me? I'm not certain about you. I'm not certain I even know who you are anymore. Did they ever have a conversation about the God, anyway.
No, I never did.
Her traumatic experiences. Anyway, she says, well, hallelujah. For once, the shoe's on the other foot. Things are going to be real interesting in Coney Island. We should switch back to Coney Island, where Figurine was getting the toad tongue wrapped around her. She says, oh, for crying out loud, how many times do I have to tell you? She slaps him in the face. No tongues. Listen, horny toad, I've told you I'm not interested. Go be off pestering Auger or Desiree, but leave me alone. Seraph was right. I gotta go get some clothes on.
His name really Horny Toad.
That's the only thing anyone called him, so that's what he went it by in my book. But
There's a Desiree. We haven't met Desiree though, I don't think, right?
I don't believe so. These are the only characters we've seen, and we didn't really have any vision of the Forsaken other than the Judge in the earlier issues. So yeah, when Quill, the assassin, came to kill Justice, it just said something the Forsaken need this, something something. And that's all. So Horny Toad rocks off, Raza, and gets a big punch in the face. We find that that is Captain Brooklyn. Stay where you are, miscreant. Further aggressive action will only result in Horny Toad jumps at him, but sort of hits him in the face into Brooklyn's chest, which just feels like he hit a wall. I warned you, never slam against a man with steel-hard skin. He backhands him, sends him flying. So Toad is just on the ground, and Brooklyn is taking off. The leader of this renegade band of paranormals must be somewhere near. I'll find him and whatever prisoners he might have. Switch over to the prisoners. We're being led out of their cell. Okay, prisoners, this way. The judge will see you now. And we see it's our old pal Dumbo, aka James, from the first issue that Seraph was in.
The Pit Aid concert, yeah.
A main man Dumbo. He was much funnier in that. Say, weren't you in the original cast of The Elephant Man, Dumbo? Don't bother. I've heard all the jokes. Would you mind telling me what this place is? There's a kind of paranormal underground, has been ever since the White Event. And certain paranormals and parabnormals like me, I like that, found it and got siphoned here to Coney Island. This is the terminus. People come here from all over the country. And we pretty much run Coney Island now that the norms have cleared out. If you had brains, you'd be scared right now. Rudy starts making jack-off motions with his hand, and Miriam starts making the first half of the joke face, and then Chauncey makes the second half of the joke face. They all bust up. Dumbo tells them, "Stop that! Stop that stupid face making and laughing. He won't like it." Yeah, who won't like it? He won't. The guy in charge. He opens the door and, our latest defendants. Welcome to our humble chambers. The Forsaken welcome you, and I, Judgmental, declare this court in session. Splash page of this guy walking towards us. He's also got a cape and kind of a hood.
And the sleeveless outfit, though, it's got them bare arms.
Double-breasted, I don't know.
Very unjudge-like to have the biceps showing.
Judgmental. I think just the judge was good.
Yeah, Judgmental sounds like a dumb, like cartoon villain from like the RoboCop animated series or something.
So, in the new tag team match, the Undertaker and Judgmental go up against
Miss
yeah.
Demeanor.
you go. It's a bit of a, you know, like it, not everything has to be a joke. Okay, Peter David.
Too
It
late.
it's the yeah, what you call it? Not everything has to be a pun. There you go. Anyway, big splash page, which is fairly cool looking, but text box at the bottom is fascinating. Next, part two of four. Okay, just kidding. Actually, the wrap up. People get killed. Buildings get blown up. Plot lines get resolved. Who will be left standing? We sure won't. Maybe you will in The Big Goodbye. Or Ferris Wheel's Day Off. Be there. Or more jokes. Anyway.
Yeah, actually,
So.
like when I read this the first time, that got me because I'm like part two of four, like, oh no, like it's not gonna finish. We're not gonna see the ending because we know that there's only one issue left. But yeah.
That's right. Yeah, I want to say Justice comes out on the same day as Marvel Age. So that's, you know, there's no surprise to anyone. You've been told all the next issues are the last issues. So, oh, man, exciting stuff.
Right. There was a lot
Seventh-ray
of talking.
Justice was fighting Seraph on the cover. I don't know. This was fun in a lot of ways. I just you know, is it, the only disappointment being it doesn't, you know, it builds to a climax that it doesn't really get to.
Yeah, it's really tough to have a whole setup issue as your second to last issue ever, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's maybe if you'd made the like main story, you know, the full extra page length. We could have started the fight somehow. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, pacing wise, it kind of works if it was going to continue, but yeah, like having
It's
those
more.
pages in the previous issue where it was more or less just the NSC guys walking around Coney Island with nothing going on. Like maybe a lot of this setup could have happened then save us some time.
Yeah, the pacing, perhaps, maybe it's another like. They're still, they've been doing like three parters for a while. And so you're still kind of in that speed, you know what I mean?
Right.
If there's been two more issues coming after this would probably feel pretty, you know, normal. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Lee Weeks back on art. That's good. The Forsaken, we've apparently got more Forsaken because,
Mean, it
yeah.
almost implies like there's a just a like a ton of them,
That's
right?
the thing. Yeah, it's there's you know, there were more rando paranormals in that last issue of DP7, the cult that, you
Yeah.
know, that had been kidnapped, which I presume is not every paranormal in Manhattan. We only see like three or four here, so hopefully there's a crowd hanging out somewhere. Dumbo says they've been funneling there ever since the White Event. All of that, yeah, interesting. You know, is there more going on there that we've even seen so far?
Yeah.
Possibly.
I guess if you count Psi-Force as like the Medusa web kind of taking the Psi-Force kids against their will to a degree, then like three out of the four books are about kidnapping paranormals, right?
Yeah, they're, I don't know. I mean, when. The everything post Pitt, I guess, has been the society recognizing and then trying to exploit them, you know. So they can't, you know, hiding seems like a good option for, you know, everyone. Let's see, what it was, our calculation was 2 in a million. So in
And depending on which
1989.
intro thing that you read.
Yeah, so you have as many
Now
as
we're down to
500.
one out of every million in this most current iteration.
Okay, so maybe 250 plus 300 paranormals in the US total. Awesome. Yeah, the it's interesting they're keeping Rudy under wraps. It's not like his power was that impressive before, but when they say like in the coming next or the Marvel Age solicit for this, where it seems like Manhattan is burning down and everything's going crazy. It's like, oh well, yeah, Rudy, maybe he just, okay, we didn't see anything, but.
Yeah. Oh, and then, yeah, the solicitation was the return of Seraph, which we got, and the debut of the horrifying outcasts called the Forsaken, which like
They
cues
were
up, you're imagining like the monsters coming out of the pit that are all like
yeah.
disgusting and gross. And it's like, no, nah, like a bunch of attractive women and some weird toad dude.
Yeah, they're pretty good looking actually. This is actually a lot like first mo X-Men movie Evil Mutants. You got Judge Magneto, Sabretooth Seraph, and like Mystique times two or something. Anyway, whatever. We've got the Toad powers. Oh, and the Toad, of course. That's exactly why. Never mind. We got what this Augur seems to see the future, so maybe that's why they were targeting justice in the first place. Like they could tell there was some confrontation was inevitable, maybe.
But like, what's he trying to do anyway, right?
I was kind of hoping they were from the future, but okay.
that would be interesting.
Seeing is also fine, I guess.
There's
I would
sort of like
like.
little nice touches that, still feels a little bit like original New Universe. Like he actually has to kind of hop on a plane to go somewhere. He
He
doesn't
doesn't
just
just
sort
show
of
up somewhere, yeah.
show up or teleport
And he takes a nap first. Like you can imagine a flight from Europe, you're pretty beat. Yeah, I the timing on this incidentally, because we had very tight dates on the Psi-Force crossover. I think we're still back in October in this, which is a little Every like the other two books have definitely moved ahead.
Yeah, you can kind of tell when they're shifting around a little bit because they'll make sure to never give you the date, like a lot of some like maybe half of the comics start with like what the date is, but
Yeah, it's I mean when you do things like, the NSC agents go to Coney Island. They don't see anything in one issue, and then the next issue, they're still walking around and they get maybe one of them disappears. And then another issue. And now, there's the confrontation. It's like, well, okay, that's an afternoon. It's not 3 months like we might have seen in another book. Anyway, it's fine. It's just, I think at the end, if they don't sort of push forward, because Psi-Force pushed all the way into spring. So, whatever that was worth. Anything else? I honestly was surprised or disappointed with like not having more of a Victor, Angie, Angela, or even just Angela talking about her traumatic experience and describing her power or something.
Yeah, I mean, she sort of teleported from in a coma, barely moving her hand to like up and oh, I've just completed combat training. Which I guess would have only been like a week's worth.
As near as I can tell from the Justice timeline, yeah. I mean, unless he spent a couple, he would have been going through the whole crossover in a couple of days, based on what I saw the story seemed to be saying. Anyway, see, do we have grade? I mean,
B plus?
B plus is about what I'm feeling. Yeah, I'm happy with it. A little
This is,
happier than like baseline. So yeah.
yeah. I think in the grand scheme of things, there's problems, but in the story itself, like it landed pretty well. When I read it the first time, like, I thought it was all funny. which doesn't always happen with these Peter David books. Sometimes it's just like kind of okay, whatever.
You're just imagining being trapped at a party talking to Peter David, and you're like, ah.
How
Oh,
do I get away from this guy?
well.
See, I would
Nukin.
Nukin, yes. Nuking it up. So trending in the right direction. And thankfully we had Lee Weeks back, even though he's probably a little bit rushed. He gets still get some nice panels. The nice outweighs the not nice, I would say.
Yeah. Toad
Right.
looks horrifying. The ladies look attractive. You know, it's what you
All right, all done, ready to wrap this one up now.
want.
No backup story in this one,
Oh, wait, what's this?
right? Who's
I
this
didn't know that.
blonde guy with the glasses?
I thought
Where's
it was
his
an extended Moon Knight ad. I'm trying.
All right, I guess I can do the backup story. As all backup stories written by Fabian Nicieza. We've got some Mike Gustavich art and the return of Andrew Chaser. Hard
Yo, the
copy.
Chase Man in the house.
Oh, yep. So, I mean, in case you were worried that we weren't going to see him again at the end of the new universe and never know what happened with him and his mom and his tape recorder, then
Yes.
we'll find out more. Yeah. Freedom of Depress. Like,
Oh.
depressed. Okay. It's quite punny. We do get a date here, February 24th. Of course, now we can't really line it up with what's going on in Justice, but I'm assuming it's later.
It does line up with the other books that we've
Yeah.
in Psi-Force and Starbrand, I guess.
It's the wrap up of Chaser. Since February 24th, 8:45 a.m. I hate getting up this early, but when the President of the United States calls and says he wants to talk, you make some concessions. And then the, I guess, a 7/8 splash panel. He's standing there with all of the Federal guards holding their guns on him for some reason, like they weren't expecting him to show up, or I don't know. Just makes it more
Could you
dramatic.
guys coordinate your schedules a little better with the president's secretary?
It's like 10
This
guys drawing on
is just this there's like a plant behind him, and the whole thing ends up being weirdly overlapped, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like half like of his coat is continues the lines of this potted plant, and it just feels like
Yeah, like the
it.
back half of yeah, it's funky. I think it's correct, but it looks weird.
I don't. Yeah, it looks weird somehow. There's t I, they call them tangent lines or something. And is that what that? If that's all it is, okay. But
Yeah.
whatever.
Anyway, so all the guards, you know, kind of clear him. They're like, metal detector, all clear. Frisk him, yes, sir. He and Chaser is self-narrating. It's like nothing more embarrassing than getting frisked by guys with washboard stomachs when you haven't done your gut crunches in 2 months. It's like, was he frisking them back? How does he know this? They're just wearing suits. Like, he's clean. All right, Mr. Chaser, would you like to follow me? And basically, it looks like Voight's starting to walk in, but it's kind of hard to tell. Again, coloring can be kind of tricky. But yeah, Voight walks in with this kind of creepy face. Says, "Your exuberance is comforting, but I assure you that there's nothing to worry about from our unusually silent guest." And we got a big face of Voight with this kind of creepy smile. And Chaser again kind of back to self-narrating. It's like, "And me, your humble little narrator. My name's Andrew Chaser. I'm a reporter, in case you forgot or would like to."
Or just don't care.
I just don't care. I tend to cause trouble, then hide under a bunch of amendments like a pencil-pushing wussy. I've been after our mysterious chief executroid since a friend of mine died with Voight's name on his lips. And then we get a
The
line. The leaker, Psi-Force number 26. And so yeah, that was from quite a while ago. Like, you know, here's this guy who's kind of up and coming, taking over and a threat. But then, yeah, we haven't really followed up from the chaser angle on that since then. But yeah, so Voight basically leads him into his office, looking out the window. He says, "I never thought I'd grow up to be the president and have a view of the Rocky Mountains out of the Oval Office window." He's like, does he never thought he'd grow up to be the president, or he's mostly never thought he'd be the president and get the view from Denver? curious. But yeah, so he says Denver makes a nice state capital, sir. It's quite a pleasant city, actually. Maybe we'll find out more later. It's like, and the absence of the Mount Pittsburgh fallout is very refreshing. Most of the Northeast has been left rather barren, I'm sorry to say. I established my campaign headquarters in Manhattan just to show the country that we must endure these hard times. So, like, at the bare minimum, at least we get a little bit of world building that the capital's been moved. And then maybe even that whole northeastern area is kind of wrecked, and you know, to the point of abandoning DC as the capital.
Yeah, that's real significant stuff. The Mount Pittsburgh they had said was making life unpleasant in New York City, but it sounds like the whole Northeast seaboard is slowly getting evacuated. DC, I think in that same Psi-Force they had said something about they were thinking of moving the federal government to DC. Which obviously is a huge transition. And if most of the population in the country is actually in the Northeast seaboard. So
Right.
if you're depopulating that whole area and trying to resettle them in Denver, that is some serious changes going on. So.
That's something. Voight had just talked about having his headquarters in Manhattan. Chaser replies with, "Yeah, I assume that was simply to be in the middle of what everyone is calling Freak Central." And Voight replies, like, "You don't beat around the bush, do you?" Well, having been tiptoed around for the last few months, I can almost appreciate that, Andrew. Sit, please. And like, I still have no clue why this meeting is happening. Like, why is the president bothering with this guy? Assassinate him, ignore him, tell him your master plan. It doesn't make much sense.
This guy is investigating me. Quick, bring him on over. Let's have a sit down with this young fella. Let me put a little honey on the table instead of some vinegar. It's charm offensive.
So Chaser's like, "What's your story, Mr. President?" He's like, "Story?" He's like, "Your parability. What is it?" It's like, "Ah, I see. Parability. A word that says so much and nothing at the same time." Like, okay, dude. How do I turn the knowledge of all there is and the ability to implement on that knowledge into some catchy phrase like telepath or shapeshifter? So he's like, "I'm the greatest and can do anything, and I know everything." That's kind of what he's saying there. Of course, we recall that he actually had a showdown with Wilford Brimley, the Star Brand, who probably should have just fixed Mount Pittsburgh, and that would have caused a lot of things. But instead, he decided to face off against the president and then burned out Voight's powers. So, as far as Brimley thinks, at least, Voight has no paranormal powers. Whereas he used to have all of the paranormal powers, apparently. But anyway, it's simple. I don't. My parability had nothing to do with my role as chief executive of this nation. Shouldn't the public be the judge? I'll let the public judge for themselves. And Chaser's like, "Cute. Meanings within meanings. I hate Chinese riddles as almost as much as I love Chinese women." Like, okay. What's the Chinese riddle? Like, he's like, "I can't be racist because I like Chinese women." I don't know. Is that what he's saying?
Dude, you're really telling us a little too much here. I don't,
Little too
I'm not really
much.
comfortable with this. Yeah. I mean, okay, he's speaking in riddles. Okay, Zen koans? Not really. Not
No.
really. Don't try to overdo it.
Anyway, Chaser picks up on the word had. He says, "You said had. What does that mean?" He says, and Voight basically just starts screaming at him. "It means I've lost my power. I've lost my vision. I've lost my dream. They took it away from me, wrenched it from me as if it were a tooth still freshly attached in my mouth." He's been working on this speech, I think. That won't stop me, Mr. Chaser. They have taken the vehicle from me, but not the road. I was like, oh, come on with the analogies, dude. And Chaser's, and I'm thinking, I wonder if Nixon was like this by the end of his term. But Voight's still ranting. My path is still clear before me. The road will be traveled a little more slowly, but it will be taken at a crawl if necessary. And when we reach our destination, oh, how the trip will be. Oh, man, this guy just keeps going. Says, we aren't going anywhere. You are going the way of the Cro-Magnon. I am going the way of the light. The human race is to be supplanted by the next step in the evolutionary process, Mr. Chaser. Finally, he's kind of getting into the point here. It's
Wrap
obvious.
it up. Wrap it up, kids.
Cut. It's obvious that paranormals are the next step. Whether our existence is by accident or design makes no difference. We are here to stay, here to thrive. And then he smashes his phone or the tape recorder. Yeah, he smashes the tape recorder, I guess. Did he put down the tape recorder at some point? Yeah, he did.
He
Okay.
usually like gives the tape recorder a name. Oh, here it is, the top. Left of 27, the tape recorder has come out.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, well, there's still like seven more pages of Voight ranting. We are here to rule, and if you think that any of this is going to see print, you are more fool than I thought. Your mother, Linda, how is she? It's like, oh, didn't we already do the threaten his mother thing?
This is all public domain knowledge,
Yeah. So then he's like, do we have anything further to discuss, Mr. Chaser? And he's like, no, Mr. President, I think you've answered all the questions I had concerning your plans for this country. And then we get a last self-narration. I shake his hand, grab my coat, and leave. It takes six straight smokes before the chills stop running down my spine. This maniac has to be stopped. But again, why? I mean, if he was going to go and reveal the master plan, then you probably got to like kill him, or maybe there was a reason you wanted him to know. But then he just threatens him and says, all right, well, no, you can't tell anybody.
Yeah, I think you need to like incorporate him into your master plan somehow more
Right?
than like don't say anything to anyone about what I've just been saying.
Yeah. Didn't Voight pretty much already say all this stuff last time we had him in a backup issue and he was ranting about stuff?
I think this is a little clearer that we've got him as depowered, but totally in like. Mega maniacal. Danny, we'll all be done in a minute.
Oops.
I mean, we talked before about how Voight had his original vision at the White Event, where he could like he was one with the universe or something, and
Right.
but he had a path, and then maybe the Black Event, he had like a much darker realization or something. This
Yeah.
is also similar to the cult leaders and such that we've seen a couple of times, where people keep telling us that the world's going to end, or that paranormals are going to end it, or that paranormals are going to inherit it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So is that
Almost like some sort of editorial mandate or something.
so I like that
Also,
part.
check out like the last page, the Chaser's last image where you see his face, where he has zero forehead.
Yes.
Man.
Airlines. Speaking of Cro-Magnons, what are you doing there, buddy? Don't you have a forehead? I don't know. Yeah, I mean, so yeah, after Starbrand, we have reestablished Voight as not having his paranormal power, but still having this pro-paranormal vision of disaster or
Right.
something. So, okay.
It's a little messy.
A little rough around the edges still, but, and I mean, it's having Chaser and Voight in kind of paired off makes sense in that, like, yeah, you could have this sort of political intrigue, you know, sort of a 70s spy movie thing, but sort of bringing them right face to face in the beginning isn't very, I don't know. There's not a lot of subterfuge there, so.
No.
Okay.
Doesn't make a
Okay.
lot of sense, but I guess I don't know. I'm assuming then this is leading to him playing some important role in this whole war thing, or kicking it off, or being the cause of the problem. But yeah, you never know.
We will see soon enough, but I really wondered if Voight, let alone Chaser, are going to play a role in this war at all. So I
Right.
don't know.
Is it a war between countries or war between paranormals and non-paranormals? Like, it's really, there's no hints at all just yet, really.
No, I had seen, I found a Gruenwald interview from some maybe previous to this, where he's talking about The Pit, Square Round books, and we got plans for at least two sequels to The Pit. Next one is going to be called The Draft, and the one after that I think will be called World War III,
Yeah.
but don't quote me.
So that sounds like multiple countries worth of paranormal kill squads and stuff.
Yeah, so that's what I'm hoping for if we get full, multi-culture country paranormal hit squad face off. That could be fun.
Yeah. I'm not sure that's gonna happen, but it
It's
could be fun.
Gridlock versus Metallurgist. Oh, okay. Yes. So I don't know. It's this is not great, but the world building does have like a couple of interesting elements in it, and the sort of where it sets the stage of, is Voight still dangerous? Is he still crazy? Has he still got powers?
Yeah.
They were going to con interesting. I mean, it's bizarre to me, but yeah, we have the most powerful paranormal, and now he's the president, and now we take away his powers, but he's
Right.
still the president. And it's okay, I
Yeah.
guess. Okay. That is all.
It would have worked better, I guess, if they just kept him with like a weaker version of his powers, like they kind of reintroduced him, and then, for all we know, he could have always been this way, but when they reintroduced him, it's like, all right, well, he can use anybody's powers kind of thing. But then he could use anybody's powers anytime, no matter what, like as long as they exist, or if
Yeah,
they come
that was a
in
bit
contact.
much. If you'd have just bumped it back down to like anybody who you're in the room with, or anybody you're, and
Right.
he can't, be so over the top, but he could still use like one power at a time. Like,
Yeah.
I don't know, something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a look at a couple of quick discussion points. One was if we will now be heading into the last issues of all these books. Any expectations or predictions?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, Justice, I think, it's kind of in this issue, it kind of boiled down to, he will die, or he'll kill you, or something. Like, I could definitely see him in like a walk off into the sunset kind of thing. Like, this is the last one. His friends are safe. He disavows his mission to judge all the paranormals, and he's just gonna fade off into the sunset. That's my guess.
I could definitely see him like getting out of the NSC along those lines. Yeah, like, okay, I don't want to be the government stooge here. I got to go do something for myself. And yeah, they keep talking up like I've got to get out of this mission. My daughter doesn't like it.
Right.
The random factor in the final confrontation, I wonder if that's Captain Brooklyn or it's Angela, if she's coming along.
I
But I don't
mean, it's
imagine there's
definitely
a lot
set
of
up to
dead
be
bodies to be.
Brooklyn, but
Yeah.
he's such
You,
a
if there was like a
nothing.
cemetery next door to Coney Island, you'd be like, oh, here we go. Oh, I've got it. How can I fight 100 Forsaken? Maybe with 100 zombies.
Dang. That would be impressive.
may not oversell future justice. I don't know. DP7.
This one got spoiled for me a little bit on the Facebook
I have enough memory to spoil it myself, if only be, you know.
So what would
I
you
have a
want?
half a memory and I've got like the solicit. I had to like type up the solicits, and
Yeah.
so I
I
have.
guess if I was dreaming up an end and it had to end, like they've had all these like romantic subplot storylines, you know, and like we came close to like all of them, you know, besides Lenora, I guess, like coming back together and then Jeff. But in like New Universe style, like if they all got kind of like a little bit of a melancholy, like sad ending, you know, like. You know, Randy and Charlie, you know, never make amends. You know, Dave's got Sponge, but he doesn't really like her. Like, you know, it's kind of like a one-sided relationship, and like everybody just kind of goes off, you know, in their own separate way. I mean, maybe that's uncreative based on what I said with Justice, but like I think that would be like a good new university ending. It's not that we're all together again. It's not happy ending. Everything worked out. It's just kind of like, oh well. This is the world we're in now.
Life goes on. Yeah, that's a DP7 vibe for you. I like that. You kind of remind me of Ken Connell and Barb. Like the Sponge Dave pairing is like if she had like a couple of kids to take care of herself. Yeah, I don't know that the Randy Charlie would be interesting. I don't know if Randy like became a black nationalist, was out there. We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us. Charlie was like, "Woo,
Dang.
he's really got it going on." She became a Broadway star. That would be hilarious. Yeah, part of the charm of DP7 is its like random quality and its like low key quality. So that's I like that. Psi-Force, I guess we kind of get the vibe that they're becoming their own powerhouse super team, the X-Force, as it will.
Yeah, it seemed like they were setting it up for like they make this super squad, and then it's like, you know, you have to imagine then what's next, right?
Left to our imagination. Yeah, it's funny they keep like losing their heavy hitters. Even Kathy seemed to be on extended vacation as of last issue. So okay, let's see. They may recruit someone at the end that maybe it'll balance things out.
Judging by the cover, I don't think we're gonna get the cool jackets. Like, there's like hints of some of like the funky outfits and stuff, but
I think those jackets that the Black Powers got must have been from a distributor in Pittsburgh, and so no
yeah.
one ever got cool jackets again. Oh, and yeah, we finish up with Starbrand, which I have the most memories of,
Okay,
so
I've
let's
never
go with
read
that.
the final issue of Starbrand. It seemed like they were setting it up for some kind of like time loop mumbo jumbo with like Ken Connell being increasingly more deranged and also starting to look more and more like the old man from the beginning. Because like yes, every time he comes back, he's got more like long beard stuff going on, which is just an exasperating heavy sigh. But also, Wilford Brimley still has the Star Brand power. So, like, will he give it back? Or Ken still has some. And then the baby was maybe going to come back, even though he was only lost in space for a little while. So, I'm assuming it's some kind of showdown between Ken and Star Baby, and something weird happens.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you. They seem to lead up this loop, but then they also seem to give out the Star Brand to Wilford
Everybody?
Brimley,
Yeah.
so he's not
Now he's
old man.
immortal, right?
He's another old man. So I don't know. You've got everyone has like infinite power except the Star Baby has double infinite power or something.
Infinite plus two.
Anyway, if my memories of it are correct, I've been kind of subconsciously building a legal argument against it, or I should say physics argument against it for a while. So we'll see how that where that goes soon. In fact, next issue. And I wanted to say we have now several unfinished backup storylines. Madman, man, the dreaming paranormal killer, Psycho Killer, that was just a one-off, except he got recruited by the CIA. We never did see Rodney Ramos as the Golem.
Yeah, maybe he'll be in the war though. I guess he got drafted or something, right?
I'm hoping that it wasn't wasn't a bad idea. Go somewhere with that. Well, I mean, yeah, if this was the last, backup story, those are were all storylines that had only been done in backup stories. So there we go.
Yeah,
No more.
no big deal, I guess, right?
Oh well. Oh well.
Well, so yeah, that's it for this week. Next time, the new universe, whether we like it or not, checks in on the most random title, The Star Brand.
The Star Brand number 19. It's the final issue, and it's filled with surprises. That's all we dare tell you about the searing tale written by John Byrne. Breakdowns by John Byrne. Finished art by Tom Morgan. 32 pages. Mando offset paper. Direct sales only. $1.50. And I forgot to mention the because of the weird schedule they started the new universe with. So this is at the end of the 31 issues.
Right.
Technically, it's in that month.
Yeah. I would have thought it would have been the end of the new you, Star Brand
That's
19.
absolutely to me,
And
yeah.
yet.
Yeah. We'll see when we get there.
Anyway, counting down to the end, only eight to go. One for each title, and then the War mini series. Maxi series? Mini series. So yeah, find us at kickersinc.com. You can email us at newuniversepodcast@gmail.com. This has been the voice of the new universe, and we'll see you back at the spinner rack.
Don't let the new universe die.
It was only supposed to make a buzzing noise.
How many times do I have to tell you? No tongues.
At least until HR gets involved. I hate Chinese riddles almost as much as I love Chinese women.
Perhaps that should have been my line. I'm
Yeah,
sorry.
I feel wrong saying it.